We started Psalm 23 last week, and one of the things I'm learning about myself is, you know, I need to be more like a sheep. You know, I challenged us when we left last week, as we left, is to go and be sheepy. Remember, that was your assignment for the week, to go and be sheepy. Did y'all get that down? Y'all did your sheep business and all that. But, you know, I'm not a guy that's an expert on sheep by far, and my guess is you guys, you know, probably have been around sheep. I know you guys know them a little bit, so I'm a little worried some of the things I say is going to be wrong, but just shake your head if I do say something that's not quite right. But, you know, I was a country kid, but I wasn't a farmer, you know, so I wasn't quite a city kid, so you got to give me a little bit of a break there. But yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We think about sheep. We got a little bit of audio going back there. I thought it was kind of cool too, because you can kind of hear some springtime red-winged blackbirds going on there and the baaing of the sheep. But that first line of Psalm 23, that famous psalm that we hear so often, probably one of the most popular Bible verses or whole chapters, is the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And to be sheepy, you know, I need to internalize that. I need to make that mine. And the first thing there to realize is I am not the shepherd. It is He that is the shepherd. I'm not the one that dictates the direction of life. It is the shepherd. And that's something that I need to learn. I'm not the boss. The sheep and the flock are not the boss. The shepherd is the boss. Same way with me. He is the boss. Things I don't want for, I shouldn't be the one that wants, because it is the shepherd's job to provide. What I need to do as a sheep is stay close, to abide, kind of an old word. I need to remain close to that shepherd. And you know, it's such a fundamental thing. It's such a fundamental thing for people of faith to say that I am a sheep in His flock, and he's my shepherd. And David, who wrote that, you know, a couple thousand years before Christ or so, 1,500 years before Christ, he would have got it because he was a shepherd, but he had seen so much of the gamut of all of life because of what he did as king, as a mere shepherd boy. But he'd seen it so much. But towards the end of his life, he pens that, and he says, you know, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm the most powerful man in the world, but yet I bow and I submit to God as my shepherd. And it is a simple thing to say. It's a simple thing to say, but you know, I think it's kind of a hard thing to internalize. About 20 years ago, there was a song. I'm going to play a portion of this song. You might know it. Go ahead and roll that one, Raleigh. It's a song you might know.
Falls like a curtain on the things I once called certain, and I have to say the words I fear the most. I just don't know, and the questions without answers come and paralyze the dancer. So I stand here on the stage, afraid to move, afraid to fall. Oh, but fall I must on this truth that my life has been formed from the dust. God is God and I am not. I can only see a part of the picture He's painting. God is God.
Anybody hear that song before? Yeah, several of you have. 20 years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman, I couldn't believe it was that old. But you know, in there, he's kind of lamenting about life. He's realizing how limited he is as a man. You know, the things he just doesn't know. There's things I just don't know, and I have to admit that, he says in his song. And I have to come to this truth that I'm just a man that was made from dust. You know, what a wonderful testament to actually admit really we are, that we're just dirt. That's kind of what we are. But we were formed in His image by Him. And then the chorus goes on to say, God is God and I am not. I can only see part of this picture He's painting. God is God and I'm man, so I'll never understand it all, for only God is God. Now, confession time. When that song came out, I remember it was on the radio, and I thought, I didn't like it. I just didn't like the song. It just kind of had too simplistic of a line in there. I mean, you know, God is God and I am not. Well, yeah, duh. You know, it's almost too simple of a statement to sing a song about. I'm thinking, well, golly, I could write some Christian songs here. What a way to make a dollar. Just state the obvious. God is God and I am not. I've got kind of a stupid song, you know, really, when you think about it. That was 20 years ago, and, you know, obviously we've changed, we grow. And as I go back and I think about that song a little bit more, and I consider myself in regards to that song, I think it is a very powerful chorus to be able to proclaim that. This most obvious statement that God is God and I'm not. And as I look at my life, and I'll start with me, maybe I'll point fingers later on, but starting with me in regards to that fundamental truth, to say that God is God and I'm just a mere man, I can say it, I think I may understand it to be true, but you know, when it comes to practice in my life, far too often, it's far from being true. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to live it and believe it. And I think the more I step back and look at our culture, I look at how we relate with each other as people, I look at our government, we have the greatest country in the world, but if you look at how our government runs itself and what's happening there, and I think about that basic statement, or I think about how our businesses run and the corruption sometimes we have in businesses, and I think about our church, the United Methodist Church, and what we're doing there. The more I just tend to wonder, where are we in embracing that fundamental truth that God is God and we are not? That picture, that idea of us as people submitting to Him. It's such a basic, simple thing, but I guess I claim it's not being lived out. God is God and I am not is really another way of saying what David said, the Lord's my shepherd and I am not the shepherd. It is in essence saying the same thing. And so my argument is, I think part of my problem as a man, as a follower of Christ, part of the problem that our cultures have, and perhaps maybe yours as well, is that it isn't that we don't say that. It's not that we're not saying God is God. It's not that we're not saying He is my shepherd and I'm His sheep. But I think the problem is we really don't believe it. And by believe it, I mean that our lives are really reflecting something that means that statement. Because I think our lives sometimes reflect something that's much different. It's a different statement than the one that says He is God and I am not. I think it's different because all too often the God is us. We become our own gods in too many cases. We put ourselves first. We put ourselves first in power. We put ourselves first in authority. We put ourselves first in choosing what's morally right and what's morally wrong. That's not what a sheep should do. We are to follow the shepherd. Here's a test for you. I'm still a part-time teacher, you know. I like to give tests and quizzes. There's a popular statistic out, and it has to do with the number of decisions that you and I make every day. Now think about this. You know, you got up this morning and you started making decisions. You know, what, should I put the foot out of the bed? You know, should I stay? Should I hit the alarm? Another time? You know, think of decisions. Number of decisions you and I make in a day. You got an idea how many decisions we make? Pretty hard to prove this, but one study says that we make 35,000 decisions every day. Now that's everything, Right there was one. I made a decision to lift my hands. You know, I had to make that decision to lift my hands, and I lifted them again. There's a couple of my 35,000. Every one. I just looked over at Joyce. You know, that was a decision. I blinked my eyes. You know, those are all. I'm sure they're counting all those. But 35,000 decisions we're making. Some of them probably not as important as others. But I want you to think about. Here's your test. I want you to think a little bit about your recent past. Each of us, you, think about your recent past and just some of those 35,000 daily decisions that you've been making. And, you know, for me, some of those are big ones, you know, no doubt for me. You know, I'm constantly thinking about things that I need to do in and for the church because that's my role. What should we be speaking about? What song should we be singing? You know, I blow that a lot of times, but those are decisions that, you know, that we have to make. What should our church be focusing on? You know, these are decisions that I have to make, and things about home. You know, my furnace went out Thursday night. Of course, it's got to go out on the coldest night of the year. So I got to go through and process, you know, being a homeowner and fixing my furnace. You know, I have to make decisions about our finances and planning retirement, kind of. Those are all decisions that I have to make. Those are mine, you know, some of mine. And you may have, you know, some as well. Think about all of us. Kind of just mentally start thinking about your decisions. You know, how big ones that you've had to deal with. How do I run my business? How am I going to plan my planting for the year? What kind of crops and when? When should I sell crops? How is it that I should deal with this tough person I have to deal with at work or at school? You know, those are decisions. How is it that I relate with people? Think about the things that you have to make, the decisions you have to make. A lot of parents, oh boy, the decisions you have to make as a parent. Think about all of the choices and decisions you have to make being a parent or a grandparent. If you're older, you've got another set of decisions you make. What? I got a plan for, you know, me leaving this earth. What do I do with my estate? Or as my health needs increase, where am I going to live? Those are big decisions. Those are some of your $35,000 decisions you have to make. Or if you're younger, if you're students, you're not exempt. You have to make big time decisions as well when you're in school. You know, what classes should I enroll in, and why? What kinds of things should I be doing? What kind of extracurricular things should I be doing? What do I do with the pressures of being a junior or senior high school student? There's a bunch of those, and you have to make decisions on how you are relating with those. And you're thinking about, well, after grade 12, what am I doing? What am I going to do? Am I going to go to school? Am I going to look for a job? Summer job? All these decisions that we have to make. So you got them? Have everybody got one that, yeah, you know what? I think about the last several weeks and months, and I've had to make some decisions. I don't know if I had 35,000 of those every day, but I know I've had decisions to make. And now here's my question that I would have for our test question. Think about the big ones. Think about the big decisions you make. The question is, to what extent was God at the very center of that decision making? You think about those big ones, and I'm the first one that I can think about this. To what extent did I bring them prayerfully to the cross and bring them to God and say, you know, I got some tough ones here. I got some difficulties that I have to do. To what extent am I bringing those forward? Well, if you're like me, that's a pretty humbling question, because I think all of us would say, you know, not often enough. Because like sheep, we just kind of want to do things on our own. We tend to just want to take control of things on our own and do it our own way. And that is not the kind of sheep I don't think we're called to be. I think we're called to do it a different way. And, you know, why is that? Well, part of the reason is, you know, the small stuff I don't think we are to take to God on. You know, if I'm a literal sheep in the fold, I don't stop and ask the shepherd, can I eat this blade of grass? Can I eat this blade of grass? Can I sip? You know, not all of those things require prayer. Not all of those things require us to come right before him and seek his answers. My furnace issues, you know, not a great big one that needed to be brought to the Lord before I decided how we were going to take care of things. I got a great neighbor. He came over and helped me. That's how we got things going. So he's not here today, so we can talk about him. But so much of others' stuff in life, those decisions that we have to make, we just simply do on our own. Because we're self-centered. We are like sheep that are just prone to go do their own thing. Instead of bringing those things to God and being the sheep under this great shepherd we have for his guidance. In the book of James, he's addressing this issue. They were having trouble with believers wanting to do their own thing as well. It's not a new problem. You know, you and I struggle with this. I know I probably pulled a heartstring there a little bit on you. The big decisions, I do too. I do on my own. But even back in the first century church with these believers that were there, they had the same problem. They were wanting this and they were wanting that, and they're quarreling over these things because of the things that they want, the things that they want to do. It was I. And James says, you know, he says this to those people. He said, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. He said, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. People of this time, 2,000 years ago, that James would have been writing to and speaking to, have the same problem that you and I have. They had issues and things in their life that, rather than place it in God's hand and say, if it is the Lord's will, then we'll do this, and seeking out the Lord's will for life, they were doing it on their own. And I will admit, I am the first one standing here that will say, you know, that's me. There's too much in my life that I want to control. There's too much in my life that I do that I neglect seeking my shepherd, who can't wait for me to come to him and give me his direction. I got to be a better sheep. That's what it is that I need to do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. I got to be like that sheep. I got to be that sheep that understands and appreciates that as well. And I wonder if you do as well. Do you need to become sheepier? You know, some say that sheep are stupid, you know, and they're just a dumb animal. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if that's the case and I'm supposed to be like a sheep, I got the corner on that market, baby, because, you know, I got dumb all over the place. You know, I ought to be a great sheep if that's true, you know. But I don't know, I'm not really certain of that statement to say that sheep are not very, very intelligent. You know, I think perhaps domesticated sheep have got some issues just because of the way they've been bred and the way that they deal with things. And some things that I read that I found out about sheep is they're just susceptible to danger. They don't see a threat like they ought to see it. Sheep tend to wander away from the protection of their shepherd. And they have a poor sense of direction. Those are some qualities that are found that domesticated sheep have. I'm thinking, you know, that's a truth about me. And I think it's a truth about most human beings as well. We are all so susceptible to danger. We are drawn away from our shepherd. There's so many things in our life that just want to pull us away because they look appetizing. That grass over there looks greener. It looks appealing to me. It looks attractive to me. And I tend to want to put this distance between me and the shepherd. I think we all have that tendency as well. By themselves, sheep have no sense of direction. And oh my, if that isn't true to us as people as well. Away from him, away from God, away from Christ, away from the standards that we find here, what is our direction? What do we have for a standard of truth, of what's right and wrong? Away from our shepherd, we're lost. We don't have any of that truth that we have because we have his word in our hearts and in scripture. So I don't know that it's so much about sheep being not very smart as what it is, as we learned about sheep, is they're so dependent on their shepherd. And that's what I have to learn to be as well. I need to just let down and acknowledge my dependency on my great, great shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Our awesome shepherd we have provides for us. He gives us food. He gives us shelter. He gives us safety. He gives us rest, as that verse says. That's what Christ does for you and me. Do I acknowledge that every day? That what my shepherd is doing for me and meeting my needs? Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Maybe the center of that whole chapter for me. He restoreth my soul, because without my shepherd, I'm dead. I and my soul is dead. Apart from him, I'm dead, and I need restoration. I need to be restored, and that's what our great shepherd does. David got that because he was a shepherd when he wrote this. He understood what a shepherd does to his sheep, but he, being a sheep, got it as well too, because he was dead. He looks back on his life and thinks, my goodness, I was an adulterer. I was a murderer. And yet my shepherd restoreth my soul. If there's ever a person that would get it, it was him. And me as well. I got to be more sheep-like. I need to get this more. I need to understand, as a sheep, without him, I'm lost. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Again, this image that comes to mind in regards to a flock of sheep here is that we are brought to places where there's danger. Lots of predators that sheep have to be worried about. Things that are out to kill them, to bring difficulties, to bring them into places where it's barren. Those are things that would be in this valley of the shadow of death. And you know, you and I have that. You and I, when we leave these doors, we're going to go out and we're going to get hammered by predators. Predators that want to steal the goodness away from you. That is the life that we live in. They're out to destroy that which you and I have. And clearly, we know this in this church, that we all go through difficult times. Terrible, horrible, difficult times. And times that just seem so barren and fruitless. But David goes on and says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. I could be taken down to these horrible, horrible times, but I don't freak. I don't fear, because you are with me. John says this, that all of this stuff that's in this world, he says this famous line that we've all probably heard, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Saying that same thing as this sheep, the shepherd that you and I have. We are possessors of the Holy Spirit that is greater than anything out there that could want to steal life from us. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's kind of a tricky passage for us to hear sometimes. The rod, a shepherd's rod, is used to discipline. It's just exactly what it is. It's, you know, upside the head. I need that sometimes. The staff is used to direct, to get you on the right path. And that's what our shepherd does with us as well. There is guidance and there is discipline when we are following him. Am I open to that? Am I in a position that I can hear him disciplining me? How am I doing on that, sheep? How am I doing? Am I allowing his rod and his staff to guide me and to discipline me? Am I staying within rod's length? So easy to wander away. So easy to stay out of this. So easy to blow off church. So easy to get wrapped up into life's other things that I am too far away to hear his correction. In the long term, you know what? They do comfort me. In the long haul, what he does to discipline me and what he does to guide me, it's good. And that's when David says they comfort me. But that's not to say in the short term there might be some pain, because that's what a rod will do sometimes. And when he reveals to me things in my life that need changed, ow, there is some ouch to that. But that's what discipline is to do. It's to bring us into light the things that we need to get rid of and the things that we need to put on and to have corrected. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a wonderful picture about the literal sense of what that passage is saying from the perspective of a man who knows sheep. And it's this. It has to do with, I read this, that sheep will wander away for a couple of reasons. One, they're hungry. So if shepherd's not doing his job to lead us into paths of, or into green pastures, you know, they're going to wander. They're going to want to go get food. But the other reason a sheep will leave the flock and wander is because they've got a problem with bugs. Bugs will land on their heads and they will go and they'll lay eggs and they get in the brains and they mess the sheep up. Well, this passage talks about what one of the customs that they do in the Middle East with their flocks. They take them up to a high place, this table, and the shepherd will individually take each sheep and look at it with care, and he'll treat that sheep's head with an oil with some stuff in it that keeps the flies away, that keeps them from getting this parasite that causes them problems. And what a beautiful picture that is to me, that this shepherd brings each sheep in individually and cares for it one-on-one and takes care of it. That's the image you get from that last passage. No different than the way God looks at you and I individually, that he cares for each of us uniquely because we have been created uniquely in his image, and he loves us and cares for us and puts things in place to prevent evil from doing its wickedness in our lives. I need to be sheepier. I need to get this more. I need to just get back to that fundamental idea of God is God and I'm not. And I need to submit to his authority. And I need to lay my life down in line with his direction. That's not an easy thing. It's not natural. It's tough to do because especially in our culture, we want to be people that can just do it on our own and then be boastful about that I did this or this or this on my own. But no, I don't think that is the sheep we need to be. Well, how do I go about that? How is it that I do that? And I just got thinking about this attitude that maybe we need to have as we prepare daily to do the things that we get to do each day. And I think about some questions that kind of start my day out a little bit differently, hopefully to get myself out of this self-centered, do-it-my-own-way kind of guy to a person who is this dependent on my shepherd kind of guy, waiting on the direction he would give me. And so I ask him these questions. Lord, I want to know your voice more. I want to know your voice. I want to hear your voice. How is it that I can hear you speak? My spirit is in a position that I wait upon your rod and your staff to guide me and direct me and discipline me. And I'm ready for some pain, but show me the things in my life that need changed. And I thank you daily for the things that you've given me, my great shepherd, the things that you have given me in this country. We don't have to worry about shelter and food and resources. That's not like the most of the world. You and I have been given so much. Things like our friends, our relationships, our jobs, our hobbies, all these joyful things we have. But yet I'm dependent on you, and I acknowledge that you are the source in that. And like sheep, I'm so prone to wander. I'm so weak. There are so many things in my life that attract me away from you. Forgive me for those. Continue through your spirit to shelter me from those things and point out to me when I'm messing up. You're always there. You care for me. You tend us and you love us. You love us so much that you came and sacrificed yourself for the sheep. You did that. I want to acknowledge that and thank you every day for that. And then regarding my role in the rest of the flock, what is it I can do? How can I help this flock? Those are questions I think we can ask ourselves. How can I be a better sheep in your kingdom? Is there someone today you're going to put in my path that I can bring encouragement to? Is there someone in my life today that could sure use a kind word from me? Who around me needs to see the shepherd through me? What is it in my life experiences that I have had to go through that might help somebody in their burden today? How have I suffered in my life that through that pain I could benefit somebody right now? What have you given me? What resources do I have that could be used to better your kingdom? That's a different attitude. That's a different way to start our day rather than thinking about all of the decisions I have to make. But it starts positioning ourselves as sheep looking for our great shepherd to lead us in his way. You know, the lesson I think today, the focus is how it is we could be better sheep. That's an ongoing thing. I don't think we ever get there. I think it's just this journey that you and I will always be on to become the best sheep we possibly can be. But next week I want to talk about why. Why is it we should be these great sheep? And the answer is simple. I'm going to show you a shepherd. Let's pray. Father, you are our shepherd, and we are so grateful. And we miss it. We're like regular sheep that just wander away to do our own thing too often. We're reminded again because of the word you've preserved for us. The 2,000 years after you've come, we have those same tendencies. We are grateful people for your Son who came, who is our shepherd. We're grateful for the Spirit that resides in us, that constantly pushes and encourage us to just submit to you and allow us to have this life here, this abundant life here and now that's found in you. Amen.